Good evening, everybody. How are you all doing?
Hey, hey. Yeah, I can hear you well.
Hey. Hey, loud and clear, yeah.
Excellent. So we got Ivan, we got Dimi. Hey, Dimi, how you doing?
Hey, very good, very good. You?
Good. Good to hear from you again. I feel like we're always connecting through either in-person events or online now. How about that? One can be so lucky.
Yeah, that's amazing. You see, after 1 year, now.
I know. It was good to catch up at Cosmoverse, too. A show of hands for everyone listening in to see if we can put like emojis. Who attended Cosmoverse this year? But we got a couple people giving hands up and thumbs up. See a few more. Awesome. Yeah, this year's Cosmoverse was wild. It was, just the venues alone, I was just blown away with just the quality of the spaces that we were in. Like, it was really, 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 really exciting to be a part of this year's Cosmos. I feel like, I don't know how they're going to top it next year. I was trying to get some alpha from CryptoCedo and the crew organizing it for where it would be next year. And they didn't want to drop any hints on me. I was kind of upset by that. I thought I was better friends with them than I assumed.
Yeah, it's top secret. So
yeah, it's definitely top secret. I threw out the idea because I know DevCon is going to be, I believe it's going to be in Vietnam next year. And so I threw out the idea of, because I know the previous year's Cosmoverse was in Medellin, and then like a week later, DevCon was in Bogota. But I was assuming that they would do it in Vietnam, but they didn't want to outright say it. They were like, no, I don't know if we're going to do that. You know, we're kind of playing around with the idea. So we'll have to wait and see where next year's Cosmoverse will be.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they will follow the Ethereum schedule.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I know. And I was talking to them about that. I'm like, do you know, did they tell you where it was going to be ahead of time so you guys could kind of plan together? Because I kind of assumed, you know, combining these kind of different chains events in one location would be beneficial because then you just get more attendees from both sides of the coin. And they're like, no, Ethereum Foundation doesn't really like tell us where they're going to be. They keep it under wraps. And I'm like, oh, okay. I kind of understand that, you know, they want to kind of announce it publicly rather than, you know, it leaking where these events will be. But I was kind of bummed to hear. I assumed that like behind the scenes, all the different event organizers were kind of chatting and kind of sorting through things, but nope, they like to keep it CIA status, very secret.
Indeed.
Yep.
Yeah, but on the other hand, Cosmos events are quite unique. So I guess creating some, I'll say it properly, creating some hype around them and some exclusivity can also be helpful rather than trying to just to align them with the schedule of any other event so that people get, let's say, tired before because they've already been to three events and this is the next after the other.
Yep, exactly. And honestly, if you think about it, having, you know, four conferences over the same week in like one location, it's pretty exhausting. I don't know how many folks attend these conferences regularly, but just going to one can be a lot, and you almost need a vacation from after attending the crypto conference circuit because it's exhausting. There's always something going on.
Yeah, I agree. And if you have to travel half of the world to just to go to the place, and afterwards you have like two or three, it's in the end of the day, you're kind of you're crushed.
Yes, 100% agree with that. Cool. All right. Well, I think we can kick things off. Looks like we've got a quorum here, but I want to thank you guys and welcome everyone. Thanks for joining us today on what I hope to be a engaging and kind of thought-provoking conversation. Today, we've gathered the members of the Akash, Nolis, and Juno teams to cover a few updates and hopefully provide some insight into the latest and greatest that each project has to offer. But I want to mention this just as it's not just about our speakers. That's what, you know, X Spaces, I still call it Twitter Spaces, are really about. It's about all of you tuning in and actively participating, making this conversation richer through your thoughts and questions. So I encourage you, if you have questions or if you want to share your thoughts, definitely put in a speaker request. And my colleague over on the Juno account will get you in on the conversation. We have lots to cover today. So I want to thank you guys again for being here. But before we get into some general high level questions I have for the folks from NOLIS and Juno, I want to do some introductions. So first up, I'd like to introduce Ivan, co-founder of NOLIS. I was wondering if you could jump in and kind of quickly introduce yourself and give us a high level of what's going on over at NOLIS.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. And I'm quite excited to be in this space with you guys. I'm glad to see so many people from the community, from different communities joining us today. So in a couple of words, my name is Ivan. I'm one of the co-founders at NOLIS. I mostly work with our development team. However, because of my background, I do tend to help with the business development as well, in terms of marketing, in terms of creatives, UI, you name it.
Cool. Thank you, Ivan. Next up is probably someone who needs no introduction, especially coming from the Juno account here, is Dimi. But Dimi, for folks who don't know who you are, I wonder if you could quickly introduce yourself and give a high level of what's going on over at Juno.
Hey, yo. Yeah. Thanks for these introductions. I'm Dimi. I'm one of the co-founder of Juno. And, you know, Juno is a permissionless smart contract network. And the particular thing is that it was completely community driven. And now we are going to a big organization reconstruction, and it's entirely proposed by the community. So it's very interesting, and I guess we will speak about this later. And speaking of myself, like, my background is engineering mostly, and I've been in crypto since many years. And along with the community, we decided to create Juno, and I think the future is bright for us. So
very cool. Thank you, Dimi. Yeah, and we'll definitely get into the recent charter proposal that was passed. But before we get into any of that, I kind of want to keep this Twitter Spaces or X Spaces kind of almost switch it up a little bit. I think most of the times, and if you go and you look at Twitter right now, you can see there's probably a handful of crypto conversations happening on Twitter Spaces. But I would argue that most of these events are really like, oh, what's going on in your company? What's the latest updates? And we're going to get into all that stuff. But I really wanted to kind of talk a little bit about you guys. I'm going to focus today's conversation on kind of three things, kind of introducing the community to what each of you are doing, how you got involved in this space, kind of how you ended up here. Then we'll get into kind of what's going on both at NOLIS and Juno. And then I want to talk a little bit about the future of the projects. And we can even expand that on to just a high level. What does the future of crypto look like leading into 2024? Because believe it or not, it's less than 2 months away. Kind of crazy to think about. But to kind of kick off this conversation, I wanted to kind of maybe ask each of you, Dimi and Ivan, a little bit about your backgrounds. I think a lot of people have probably seen you in Twitter Spaces before. They've seen you in person. You're regular contributors on Discord channels in both of your projects' Discord chats. But I don't think people know much about you. And I really want to kind of introduce you guys to the community. So kind of kicking it off, maybe starting with Dimi. Let's kick it off at the beginning. Where were you born and what was it like growing up there?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's interesting. I guess no one ever asked me, but probably you can tell from my accent. And I'm Italian. I was born in Milan, which is one of the biggest city in Italy. And I don't know, I have a small story about how I get to crypto in general. And of course, I started from Bitcoin. And I guess one of the main reason was my trouble with banks. Because in Italy, it's quite weird. Like, if you work as a self-employed, like you cannot access any bank service except the regular banking account. For example, if you want to buy a car, you want to get a loan, and you are self-employed, basically it's almost impossible. You just need to pay it by yourself. And the reason is because banks in Italy think that the only secure thing is the regular salary coming from regular employment. If you have a salary that came from yourself, they think it's not secure enough to give you a loan. And I always hated this thing because, of course, I was like earning like 5 times, 6 times more than people working as a normal employment job. And I was not able to get these kind of services. And I was so pissed off that I was looking for an alternative, and I discovered Bitcoin. And yeah, then the rest is story. I started from Bitcoin, then I became a smart contract developer on Ethereum. Then I discovered Cosmos and started working on the SDK, and then finally on Juno. So yeah, it's an escalation.
That's interesting. I didn't know that in Italy, unless you had, you know, a regular salary coming in from a company you were working at, if you're like self-employed, it's fairly impossible to get a loan for, you know, a car or a house. Are there high level, I don't know if you know the statistics in Italy, but how many folks do you think are self-employed and would find value in crypto? And besides, we could say everyone in Italy, sure. But really kind of narrowing our focus, like the self-employed folks in Italy, is it like 60% of folks are self-employed in Italy, 20%? I feel like that's a market that really maybe is untapped right now.
So the crypto market in Italy is not existing. Like there are very few companies, and like, for example, I have my own company in Italy that we do validators and consultancies. But basically there is no crypto industry except for like very, very small companies. And in terms of self-employed people as well, like the Italian style, the average Italian person, they like to just work 9-18 and that's it. And but of course there are some great minds that are self-employed. I'm not sure about the percentage, but also I'm not sure if crypto can be beneficial for the self-employed people, because the fields where they work is so wide that it's difficult to say. And like for me, it worked, but the reason why it worked was my hate against the banks. So which is not like, it's not that Bitcoin was offering me something better except freedom. So that's the only thing, because in reality, if you want to get a loan in crypto, you already need to have money. So it's not that different.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I'll pass it over to Ivan. So kind of similar question to you, you know, just letting folks within your community know a little bit more about you. Where were you born and kind of what was it like growing up there?
First of all, Dimi, it sounds to me like Italy have a faulty credit scoring system. It sounds like pretty much amazing to me how this could be something that is the case in 2023. I mean, it's amazing. I really didn't know that this is the case in Italy. But yeah, to going to the point, I'm born and raised in Sofia, which is the capital of Bulgaria and Eastern Europe country. Just like Dimi mentioned, probably from judging from the way I speak, I probably sound like a Russian, but I'm not. I actually don't speak any Russian at all. I'm almost 40 now and been working from 9 to 8 to 6 since I was 19. But all these years kind of gave me a lot of experience, and at some point I think it was time that we kind of escalated to a certain point where we wanted to, with the part of a team of group of people, we wanted to do something that sounds meaningful for us, that kind of we saw each other and we said it's something that we want to do for the next decade of our lives. It's something that will kind of leave as a legacy to our systems, to our children. As I come from a fintech company, I'm pretty much into financial products for the last 10 years, and I'm kind of aware what decentralized finance can bring for the next generation, just like internet did for us, and social media did for the Gen Z generation. So yeah, this is how Nolus came to be. We are a group of people, that small group of people that we worked together for more than 7 years in a fintech group and in a fintech company. At some point, we got into crypto, which is kind of normal for people that are in the financial sector, and we kind of saw some inefficiencies and wanted to do some product that is more, I would say, more user friendly, more focused on users, more safer and better for the mass audience to use. And this is how Nolus was born, actually.
Very cool. And kind of sticking with you, Ivan, and I think Dimi kind of answered this, this next question I have, in terms of, you know, access to, you know, financing for, you know, self-employed folks in Italy. But is there anything specific about growing up in Bulgaria that, you know, you think helped set the stage for your interest in crypto?
Well, apart from the fact that in my life I've went through hyperinflation twice. My kind of all my relatives lost their wealth in their lifetime, and kind of saw how bureaucracy and corruption can make from good people can bring out the worst in good people. This was kind of my motivation to jump into crypto and to kind of have a full control over my funds and my wealth, and to not to rely on centralized entities and institutions that can be corrupted from the ground up.
Yeah, I think hyperinflation twice is definitely something that would make me kind of second guess the financial system I'm part of. So I get that. So next question for you guys, and I'm going to dig a little bit deeper, and then we'll get into some updates from Juno and Nolus on kind of what's going on within your communities. But I think this is a good conversation to have, because I think a lot of times people don't know the people who are talking in these chats. And I think this has been really beneficial knowing, you know, you're Italian, Ivan, you're Bulgarian. Just diving a little bit deeper into your upbringing. So kind of looking back, maybe kicking it over to Dimi first. Looking back, is there anything that stands out now that at the time you didn't recognize as a benefit to what you're doing in the crypto space? So basically what I'm asking is, like, growing up until this point where you are in your life right now, is there anything that stands out to you as kind of a benefit, something that you've learned throughout your life that has benefited you now in the crypto space? It could be educational, it could be familial, it could be culturally, anything that stands out to you as like, oh, you know, looking back, I didn't realize, but this is something that I think is really beneficial that I'm bringing to the crypto space that I've learned, or I've kind of grown up knowing from my family or friends or even educationally. So maybe going to Dimi first, anything that stands out to you?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Yeah, I guess one of the most important thing is that, like, in crypto, we all are somehow like cypherpunk. I don't know how to say, like, we are some kind of rebels, and everyone have his own like ideas and his own way to work. And I think one thing I'm trying to bring with my like Web2 background is some kind of organization. Since I always worked in development, I'm trying to bring that also to the people working in crypto, which is not always happening, especially in self-organized communities like Juno. It happens a lot of time that everyone is just working by themselves and not really collaborating. And so this is something that I'm also trying to bring. But I mean, that's for myself, but also Juno as a strong community and a lot of people that is trying to contribute with different things. So I guess.
I'm trying to, yeah. You mentioned kind of rebellious. I'm kind of seeing Demi as this rebel kid, you know, breaking laws and tipping over and throwing pumpkins at mailboxes. Were you kind of a rebel growing up?
Yeah, more or less. Like, yeah, I did a lot of stuff, and probably I will go to jail if I tell
you. Yeah, well, we won't talk about those things. We won't talk. Everyone when they're a kid, they're kind of doing things because they think they can get away with it. But yeah, I think that's actually kind of interesting to know. And I would agree with you. I think there is kind of this cypherpunk kind of mentality within the crypto space. And that's what makes it kind of a fun space to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's how we innovate. Like that's where the energy is coming from to create great stuff and really change the way things are made.
Right. And so I'll kind of throw it over to you, Ivan, kind of same question. Like, is there anything that stands out to you thinking about your upbringing, whether, you know, when you went to school, your family, the culture in Bulgaria, the community there, that kind of stands out to you as, you know, a benefit to what you're doing now in the crypto space?
Oh, actually, most of my skill set, I was kind of a curious kid since my early age. And for example, I've always been into tech, no matter what type it is. Just for reference, while kids were playing PC games, I was kind of looking into Flash and trying to create some basic programs on Flash and some websites there. From there, I kind of had a drive to start working with instruments that help with the creative part. So this is something that I at some point started being a hobby of mine, and kind of in time grown as a part of my job description without having to go on a single lesson for it. And I think this is something that we are able to relate in Nolos, is the designs, that the visual part of Nolos. I think it's something that kind of shows the maturity of my background in terms of having time to play around with different brand elements to kind of evolve with visual styles and kits and go to a point where it's kind of a self-expression rather than something that it's more of a I would say a brand, like a brand guideline following certain patterns and rules and etc.
So you brought up Flash, and that's, you know, for the kids listening in on this, that's definitely some old school technology right there. I'm actually interested, maybe final question before we kind of get into some community updates, but I'm definitely interested to know, do any of those old programs you built on Flash, or maybe even some of those old websites, still exist that people can go check out today?
Mine are not online. I have to check out in my mom's place whether there are drives that have some information there. But for sake of the conversation, I'll actually try to dig up some and put them online.
I would be very interested to check some of those old Flash games out. I used to go, and I don't know if you guys ever did this, but I used to go to some of those websites where you could just play, you know, there's like a list of 5,000 different Flash games you could just play just to kill time. I used to do that all the time. I don't do that so much anymore. I don't have the time to do it. Mostly it's just on my mobile phone. I play games, but but yeah, I remember those old Flash games were pretty fun.
Yeah, I remember one where you could fake play in a McDonald's, which is very, you know, appropriate for the bear market. That was kind of something.
Yeah, very. Yeah, that's pretty funny. There should be, I feel like there's something there. I don't know what it is, but there's definitely something in a McDonald's flash game that'd be kind of fun for crypto. Cool. So thank you for that. I think folks listening definitely appreciate learning a little bit more about you guys. But I want to jump into some community updates. So we'll start maybe over with Dimi. What are just like the high level things before I kind of get a little more granular? The high level things people should know about that's going on within the Juno community today.
I mean, it's quite easy for me to answer because right now on Juno, we are having this very big update, which is the Juno Charter, where basically the community ended up together to basically kick Core One. And so we will have a new structure composed by three departments voting in a council. And this organization will basically manage all the Juno operations. And I think it's great because it's coming completely from the community, and it will improve a lot the decentralization of the network itself. Because right now, every time someone wants to speak with Juno, they are just going to Core One, and it's not ideal because Core One is only five people, and it's not always easy to. For accountability and this kind of stuff. And the new Juno Charter aims to solve all these problems. It will send back to the community pool a lot of Juno. And so it's great. It's great. I'm very hyped, and the proposal already passed. So I guess now it's only a couple of weeks away when our development team, including like Reese, that it's here with us, he's listening, and they will implement the charter proposal in the code, and there will be an upgrade, and everything will be live. So yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Very cool. Yeah, I know there's a lot. I was looking through your Discord earlier, and there's a lot of excitement around the charter. You mentioned three separate departments. Could you quickly kind of cover what those three kind of departments are?
Yeah, sure. So we have the operations department, which is one where I will be in. And then we have the development department that manage the core development. And of course, Reese will be there, Jake will be there. And then we have the communications department, which is basically the current Juno communications, plus some more people and some different responsibilities. So it's only three departments: development, communications, and operations. And these three departments will vote in a council with only 1/3 of the vote. So basically, if we want to pass a proposal, for example, to give a grant, the proposal should start from the council, and then every single department vote for the proposal. And so the majority of the departments need to accept the council proposal. So I think it reminds me some kind of real government where you have you know, representatives and so on. So yeah, I think the community got some inspiration from probably some country, because it's very similar for some aspects. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I want to see if it works, if it is quick enough, if it can suit all the community needs.
Yeah, I really like this kind of three department structure that you guys are doing. So like for folks listening in that, you know, I kind of realized I didn't properly introduce myself, but I head up community at Akash Network. And beginning of this year, we launched kind of a Kubernetes model where we have what's called special interest groups and working groups. And we have numerous special interest groups. For example, we have client special interest group support. There's a community one. There's economics. And it's all kind of things that we are encouraging community members to get involved in that help kind of steer the path for what the future of Akash Network looks like. I like this model because it seems a little bit more streamlined than how kind of we've been doing it over at Akash. It's been going really well. I'm not going to say that it's not, hasn't been going well with the special interest groups and working groups that we've started. We're getting a lot of community members involved. We're able to kind of separate community members into different interests, allowing them to get involved in different aspects of Akash and stay out of different aspects of Akash that they don't want to be involved in. But I like this kind of model around just, you know, operations, deployment, communications, because it's pretty straightforward. You say operations, I understand what that means. You say development, I get that. And communications, I get that as well. So I might, you know, start to pitch that internally and see if we can maybe streamline how the special interest groups that we built over to Akash are working, because it's pretty, I think that's a kind of an interesting model. So yeah, I'm excited to see what comes out of that. Going over to Ivan, kind of same question to you. What are, you know, the big things that are happening over at NoList that you want people to know about? I saw, you know, I'll jump in right away, but I saw that you recently had over 1 million in leases on NoList since your launch. Congratulations on that. But beyond that, what are the big things going on at NoList that you want the community to kind of get updated on?
Thanks for that, Adam. As a background, NoList is kind of a 3 months old protocol. We're still looking to find our place under the stars. So we're small in terms of core contributors that work on the protocol and its development. We are still in our early stage. So in terms of community, our community is still small compared to, let's say, for example, Junos or Akash. You guys are kind of have it baked into your DNA already, which is kind of normal. But nevertheless, we try to do our best to involve our community and help us steer the wheel into a point where it really makes sense for our community to use the protocol, because in the end of the day, what we are trying to build and we are building is more of a utility protocol rather than a community governed, let's say, blockchain. And we kind of try to listen a lot to from the feedback of our community for our testers, because for me personally, I think we're still in sort of a beta, because we've kind of trying to find the sweet spots where people would tend to use NoList instead of, let's say, for example, any centralized entity that provides sort of something like margin protocols, perhaps, or any other similar protocol. We try to make it unique, and I guess we are still curving it pivoting it in a way that follows our main vision, and in second is best for the community and the people that were actually using it. Having that in mind, our focus currently is on building silently more features and expanding the reach of NoS, because NoS is built with the notion of intercommunicating with different blockchains in the interchain. And part of our development pipeline is to extend the protocol to more than just one blockchain that it can communicate with. And our goal is to make NoList available on probably every blockchain that makes sense for users to leverage NoList from.
Very cool. So we're kind of talking about community, and I know you mentioned, Ivan, that, you know, you're still kind of in the early days of kind of growing and building up your community. And before I even get into one of my questions here, I do want to throw it up to the audience. If you do have questions for our guests, feel free to make a speaker request, and my colleagues over at Juno will get you involved in the conversation. So feel free to put up your hands if you have questions. I have a couple more questions before we get to some audience questions, but we're kind of talking about kind of community activity. So Is there anything within the Nolis community at this kind of early days of kind of the project that you're particularly excited about? Is there anything that the community has brought to your attention or has,
is there anything that the community has brought to your attention or they're actively building that has got you really excited about, you know, the future of Nolis?
Community is currently is not building anything on Nolis, as Nolis is a semi-permission blockchain. But our focus is to listen to what community wants as a feature baked in the Nolis protocol. So we kind of try to relate on that. So this is how we kind of structured the whole communication with the community. They have an option where they can put some proposals which can be brought to upvote and, for example, implemented on the protocol without the need of prior of that having official proposal that's sort of a signaling proposal on chain. So this is a way where we think for the time being is currently help us pace faster in terms of development and steer Nolis into a direction where users want it to be.
Very cool. Same question over to you, Dimi. Is there anything in particular that the community has kind of built or developed that you're excited about? Or is there anything that stands out to you in terms of kind of community involvement that you want to highlight?
Yeah, I mean, besides the charter itself that, as I said, is coming directly from the community. I mean, the cool part of Juno is that everything is coming from the community. Like the reason why we need the charter is that we didn't have a foundation, like a real foundation, like a company. We didn't have that. We don't have it. So that's why we need this kind of on-chain organization schema. So that's the cool part of Juno in general. And there are many activities that are coming from the community, many projects, many DAOs. I don't really know how to answer, because what stands out in the community of Juno is the community itself. Like, because it's crazy how they always participate, how they contribute, and how they propose stuff. And like the reason why Juno is going forward is mostly because of the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of sticking with the community members, kind of train of thinking here, line of thinking, I wanted to see if there is any ways that you guys kind of highlight those community members that are actively engaged. Is there anything that you do that kind of supports individuals that are really bought into each of your projects, beliefs, values, the community itself? Maybe keeping it with you, Dimi, are there ways that you highlight active community members and support community members that get more and more involved?
Yeah, this is a difficult topic, because of course there are many projects, many teams, and many people contributing to Juno, or they have their own project and they are building on Juno. So we have some ways to understand who is very active, and but it's manual things. Like, for example, if you go to the charter, you can immediately understand who are the key people involved with this. And maybe I can also do some quick shout out to, for example, Ray from Y Foundry and Lil from NetaDAO. That, I mean, they are like the most active members of the Juno charter. So it's quite easy to say by manually looking, but of course it's not ideal. And one thing that I saw working a little bit better is with the Juno communications, where we have quite a big team now on the Juno comms. And they are working very closely with the people, and one of their responsibilities is also to increase community engagement for the projects building on Juno. And so they are doing still some manual work, but of course they are more organized because they are a sub DAO. And maybe in the future we can have also some kind of automatic way to do that. Maybe some kind of application form or some other metrics that we can check. But for now, I think it's mostly manual work.
Yeah, I will give a big shout out to one of the folks over at NetaDAO. I'm not going to dox the person, but they're a member of the Akash Insider community. That's kind of the ways that we highlight and kind of support individual contributors to the Akash network. It's essentially like our ambassador program. We have 50 folks around the world that are, you know, active on Discord, hosting events, writing and contributing to our GitHub. So big shout out to, I'm not going to dox the person, but big shout out to one person over at NetaDAO. So I want to shout that out as well. But, same question to you, Ivan, are there ways that you kind of highlight or recognize standout community members and kind of support them?
Yeah, well, actually we haven't had the chance to, have this, I would say, to grow this exponent with this exponent to have this structures that, Dimi kind of mentioned, because we're, as I mentioned a couple of times, we still have a small community and, we know each other, by name there. So it's kind of different. The dynamics are different because we know each other by name and it kind of feels like still like an extended family members for us, rather than trying to create some sort of different type of structures and hierarchies, so that people can go to the places they feel most comfortable at.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And your project is kind of very unique, where right now you don't have folks that are actively like developing for it. Is there, and that, maybe that's a question for you guys, is there kind of a roadmap item where you want to kind of get community members involved in actually helping kind of create the future of what Nolas looks like?
Well, I hope so. I hope that we have the chance to go to that point. But first, we have some commitments that we have made in our white paper that we kind of want to bring on the table. And afterwards, we will focus on expanding it with more input from the community.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. Baby steps, right?
Exactly, baby steps.
Cool. So we're running up on time here. I do have a few more questions about kind of the future of, you know, Akash, Juno, and Nolas. But I do want to open this up to the audience. So if anyone listening in has a question for myself, Dimi, or Ivan about any of the things that we've been discussing here today or anything off those topics, feel free to make a speaker request. And my colleagues running this over at Juno will get you involved in the conversation. As soon as I see you pop up as a speaker, I'll introduce you, and then you can ask your question. But while you folks are making speaker requests, we'll keep the questions coming. I wanted to talk about, you know, what's the next big thing that, you know, Juno and Nolas are working on. I know Dimi, you were just talking about, you know, the Juno charter, which has passed. That's pretty exciting news. And I know I was talking to you, Ivan, about, you know, you guys just surpassed, you know, 1 million leases. That's pretty exciting as well. But is there any other kind of future plans that you guys have been kind of scheming? Scheming sounds nefarious, but thinking about at each of your projects that that you guys are willing to share with the community? Maybe going with Dimi first. What's the next big thing? What's 2024 look like over at Juno?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I'd be completely honest, but for now, like on Juno, we worked a lot on building the basis. And of course, Juno Charter is the fundamental piece to make Juno grow. And also on development side, we had so many new features implemented recently. And it will allow developers really to create anything they want. So in 2024, I hope that And I mean, I already know some projects that are building on Juno, and they are going to use some of the new features. For example, the clock and drip module, which is which have been added, I guess, the upgrade before the last one, are very important, and it's are very beneficial for the Juno stakers. And so, yeah, I guess next year we'll be completely focused on launching new projects and new things, and maintaining the base that we already have. So we just finished the phase where we were providing all the tools, all the things for the Juno community and developers. And next year, I guess, it will be the year of the dApps launching. And we also have some dApp that will be launched by core members of Juno, but I don't want to spoil too much. So, yeah.
Oh, you're among friends. You can tell us.
Don't be shy. Honest, I don't know if I can.
We don't want to put you on the spot.
Yes. What?
No, I was saying we don't want to put you on the spot. That's totally cool. It'll come out.
And cool. Yeah, so yeah, I guess dApps will play the major role, and you know, hopefully the market will be better and everything will solve. So we'll see.
Awesome. And yeah, same question over to you, Ivan, while we wait for some folks listening in to put in a speaker request. But what's the next big thing at Nolis? Like, what does 2024 look like for you guys?
Well, we kind of have our roadmap in a couple of big, I would say, split into a couple of big milestones. First is to expand Nolis as reach in terms of functionality to most of the interchain. Second is to grow its features make it as easy as possible for every user to interact with. And I guess the third one will be to see whether the technology that we utilize, we're kind of I would say unique in the way that Nolis, we're building Nolis because we are 100% focused, 100% relying on interchain accounts and IVC for all types of communications. And to see whether we can expand further from Cost to Cosmos and bring the protocol to the broader crypto audience, but again utilizing only the best of the Cosmos stack, which in my opinion is the fast finality of the blockchains and IBCA and Cosmosm.
Very cool. And maybe I have one more final question, and then we'll see if there's any audience questions. But just kind of covering, at least on the Akash side, like what 2024 looks like. So you guys might have seen recently we launched GPUs on the network. It took us a lot of time, took many, many community hours of efforts, many folks from the Overclock Lab side who, you know, are the founders of the Akash network to kind of get GPUs on the network, but it is live now, which is exciting. And at least from my perspective, I would say, getting more AI models, more chipsets, so people can do training and inference on the Akash network in a decentralized fashion, getting off of AWS and, you know, these centralized cloud providers. I would say that's kind of what the high level of 2024 looks like on the Akash side. It's been pretty exciting so far. For example, one of our community members put together an XDXL on Akash. So you can actually create images in a decentralized fashion, not having to go through a centralized cloud provider to kind of create images using like Stable Diffusion, for example. So I'm excited to see kind of what the future of AI looks like in the crypto space. And I'm happy to be a part of the Akash network where, you know, we're kind of leading the charge in that space. So pretty exciting on our side. But final question for you guys before see if we have any audience questions. We've been kind of talking about, you know, communities. Community, this is really a high level. It's a spooktacular community update. So we've been focused on kind of the community at both of your projects. But is there anything that folks listening in on the community side can do to kind of help bring, you know, Juno and Nolis
to the next level? You know, I'm sure you guys have visions of, you know, what Nolus and Juno look like, you know, 5-10 years from now. And I'm assuming, you know, community plays a big part of that. Is there anything that folks listening in can do to kind of help support the vision of what, you know, each of your projects looks like, you know, 5-10 years from now? Maybe going with Ivan first.
Yeah, well, if I have to speak to all community members here, I would say, guys, come try Nolus. Tell us afterwards. Tell us what you liked, what you liked in the protocol, what you disliked in the protocol, and whether you you would use it again, and if it brings value for to you.
Very cool. Very straightforward. And they would just head over for folks that want to kind of play around with Nolus when they have feedback or questions. Just head to your Discord.
Yeah, we are 20. Okay, not 24/7, but we tend to stick around there a lot and to speak with people. So yeah, we are there. Discord is the place where we discuss different topics.
Perfect. Awesome. And yeah, same to you, Demi. Is there anything folks listening in that you know you can kind of help encourage them to kind of help take Juno to the next level that the community can contribute to or get involved in?
Yeah, absolutely. So the future of Juno is not like a straight line. It's more like different branches where people with different skill can do different stuff. For example, if you are a regular user, just stay engaged and just try to be as involved as you can on the governance, because I think it's one of the most important aspects of Juno, keeping its self-sovereign organizational structure, and everything is coming bottom-up from the community itself. So every single member is important. Then we have, for example, the branch of developers, and I'm saying, I know that in the interchain world, it could be strange to just say, okay, I will launch a smart contract on Juno. But if you consider the community reach that you can get, and if you consider that at any time you can spin up your own chain, you can see Juno as a bootstrapping platform. And so if you are a developer, I think it's very cool to build on Juno, and especially with the new features where you can have automatic smart contracts that are not triggered by any transactions, but from on-chain events. And it's something that you don't see anywhere right now. And I guess these two are the main targets. So if you are a developer, come build on Juno. If you are a user, keep using Juno. It's quite easy.
Pretty straightforward. That makes total sense to me. And I'll kind of mention just on the Akash side, you know, for folks listening in that want to kind of get involved in, you know, the future of what artificial intelligence and crypto looks like, I would say Akash is the place to be, especially now that we have GPUs on the network. Like I mentioned, we have a pretty growing ambassador community called the Akash Insiders. They're, you know, 50 individual contributors from around the world that are learning from each other, supporting one another, getting involved in not just AI and crypto, but decentralized cloud. It's a totally free program to be involved in. I think if you do a poll of folks that are involved in the program, they're pretty excited because I feel like they're getting a lot of support, not only from Overclock, but from each other. It's really just a community of like-minded individuals kind of that want to get involved in the AI, crypto, and cloud space. So if you have questions on that, feel free to send me a DM or head over to the Akash Network, akash.network website, and you can learn more about the community that way. But with that, I wanted to see if there was any questions from the audience. I know the folks over on the Juno side that are running this Twitter Spaces have been following along. If there are any questions, feel free to raise your hand and we'll get you guys involved in the conversation. Oh, I'm invited to co-host. Let me see if there's anyone else that wants to get involved. I'm a co-host now. So any questions from our audience? It looks like we have almost 70 or so people on here from both the Nolus, Juno, and Akash communities. But any general questions for myself, Demi, or Ivan before we wrap up today's call? We have about 6 minutes left. So now's your speak now or forever hold your peace. And while we're waiting, maybe any final thoughts from you, Demi, or Ivan that you want to share with the community? Anything that I maybe didn't cover in our conversation here that you guys want to make sure folks listening and know about? Going over to Ivan first. Anything else you'd like to cover?
Well, not exactly. I think we went a lot deeper than compared to what we normally do on Spaces. And thank you for that, Adam. It was a real pleasure. And Dimi for being part of this.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Ivan. And yeah, Dimi, anything you'd like to cover? Any questions or things you'd want to cover that I wasn't able to cover in this call?
Yeah, no, almost the same for me. Like, we covered almost all the community updates, at least the most important ones. And yeah, you did a great job emceeing this space. It's always a pleasure to speak with you guys. So thanks a lot.
No, thank you, Dimi. Thank you, Ivan. Yeah, I think this was a fantastic event. And we went over time. I actually thought that was going to only take about 30 minutes to cover this stuff. But wow, we went to about a full hour. So I'm pretty happy about that. But for folks listening in, if you do have any questions, any final thoughts, feel free to head over to either the Nolis, Akash, or Juno Discord channels. Hopefully we can do this again in the new year. Maybe give some more updates, talk about some things that we're building on each other's projects. But with that, I want to thank you guys for joining today's Spooktacular Community Updates call. Hoping everyone has a great holiday season. And yeah, we'll see you guys in the metaverse. Take care, everybody.
Thanks. See ya.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.